welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
So many news stories.
Such news.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
We'll have to rapid fire these ones because there's a lot of them for sure. Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 61. Hello, Tom.
Hi.
How are thou?
I'm waving fervently.
You are. It's a good wave.
I'm trying to remember who that wave reminds me of. Maybe Jim Carrey and
Dumb. Yeah, Dumber. There was a bit of, because Jim Carrey's got that fluidity.
Yeah, he likes a loose wrist.
Yeah, he's very limber, and that's what that wave reminded me of.
Mm.
We've got lots of news. We've got some stuff we've been watching. We've got a special guest who's going to come in and tell us about stuff that she's been watching. And a quiz.
Yeah.
Oh, good place as well.
Oh, so
that'll
much
be behind the spoilers. That's a lot.
That's a lot for 61.
All right, let's do paper, rock, scissors to see who gets to tell their news story first. One, two, three. Oh, we did this last time. Okay, one, two, three. Okay, you win.
All right, I'm going to start off with one that's got me going, yay! There's new Alan Partridge coming.
Oh, good stuff.
Uh-huh. In February, he's the conceit of this show is that he's a temporary host of a new show called, of a continuing show called This Time With, and for those few weeks, it's going to be This Time With Alan Partridge.
Fun.
Is it Tim Key? Yes, Tim Key is back as best friend. I was going to say Tim Vine, but it's not Tim Vine.
No, not Tim Vine.
He's from Not Going Out.
And he hasn't gone out to do this.
No, but I'm particularly excited because apparently one of the episodes is going to be dealing with hashtag Me Too.
Oh, good.
And this the worst person to deal with Me Too would be Alan Partridge.
Yeah, I'd like his take on it.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Yeah. That's good. So sometime this year?
Yeah, February.
Oh, really?
I didn't see an exact date, but somewhere in there. And this That's is the nice. First time he's been on BBC since like original Alan Partridge in the 90s.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, back to the home place.
It's part of his character's journey that he had to work his way back to the BBC. He's been in Norwich for a long time.
It was like a life term. Sticking with English stuff, Tom yes. Hardy and his wife Charlotte, they had a new baby.
Oh.
It's a boy. That's all we know. Apparently, these are the rumours, he is named after Forrest Gump. They never disclose the name of their three-year-old daughter. So how on earth have they found out about this kid's name? Not sure. It's the Sun newspaper, so we can take it literally with a grain of salt.
I blame Venom.
Yeah, probably.
The suit probably talked in his sleep.
It did. It was really annoying. But apparently Tom was a big fan of Forrest Gump, so this kid is, if we're going to listen to the rumours, called Forrest Hardy. It sounds like a pair of like hiking shoes or something.
Yeah, or like the lost sixth Hardy boy.
Yeah. Right. I would read that book. What else have you got?
So Aquaman continues to do great. Yesterday it crossed $1 billion worldwide.
Does this mean that it is now the biggest selling movie that has been filmed in Australia?
I believe Queensland? There's a whole lot of different stats. Mm. So I think biggest selling in Queensland.
It's so much
money.
Took about a billion, right?
Yes. I don't know if it's fully the biggest ever shot in Australia because I think there might have been some small pieces of Avatar done here.
Okay.
Which,
Yeah.
But it's now the number two DC film ever. It overtook The Dark Knight. Mm. Hasn't overtaken Dark Knight Rises yet, so Tom Hardy's still got that one. But even cooler, James Wan, the director, he's now in a very, very elite club of people who have cracked $1 billion twice.
What was the first one for?
Furious 7.
Oh, Furious 7.
Yes, the second to last Fast and the Furious film.
That would have been the last, hang on.
So we've had 8.
Yeah, so there's been 8.
So 7 was the one. Was that the one with 7, the send-off Paul
that's
Walker?
That's what I think it might have been. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's one since then. Yeah.
Yes, there has been one since then. There was a nuclear submarine involved.
Yeah, he wasn't in that one.
No.
Yeah. Wow.
So good work, Aquaman.
That's insane.
No one saw that coming.
No one saw that coming. Speaking of things that weren't seen. Bird Box Challenge, we've heard about it.
Yes.
And of course, stupid people are going to do stupid things.
Yes.
So this 17-year-old girl in Utah she and her equally teenage passenger decided that regular driving, like, you know, where you use your eyes, is really old and uncool. So they decided to perform that scene from Bird Box where you can't see out of any windows and you literally just try and use it like a bumper car. Yeah. So they did that. Didn't go too well. She drove into oncoming traffic, slammed into the driver's side of another car and then hit a light pole. Thankfully, no one was seriously injured, but she is very stupid.
Yeah, I hope she gets in a lot of trouble.
She did. Don't worry. I found all of this on a story that involved a wonderful, I think it was a Twitter, a tweet from Utah Downtown Police.
I feel like Sandra Bullock should respond to it just with a photo of her face palming but hands over her eyes.
Yeah. She will do that.
Yeah.
Tisk, tisk, tisk. I have a feeling the Bird Box challenge is going to peter out now, though. It's been long enough in the world of internet.
Getting lost in Robert Ford's narrative. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else have you found?
So Whiskey Cavalier is a show that we've been following for a bit. It's with Lauren Cohen. And as a FBI, I want to say, not CIA, but anyway, one of them shows that's coming soon. We've been waiting with bated breath for some news as to when it would hit. And the ABC have actually announced that it's going to premiere after the Oscars, like straight after, Super Bowl style.
Ah, nice.
So ABC is the only network in the States that doesn't show the Super Bowl because they have the Oscars and they use the Oscars as their equivalent. Big thing. So they're going to be Whiskey Cavalier is going to be coming out properly on, I think, the Wednesday or Thursday that follows, but they're going to do a premiere at 11 o'clock at night or something like that.
I like that.
So that's pretty cool. And then with the Oscars, we know Kevin Hart's out and there's been, who's going to host? Who's going to host? Mm. Maybe there's no host. Mm. There's a lot of chatter happening that because the Oscars is done by ABC, which owns Disney, Marvel. Oh, sorry, Disney owns them and Marvel and stuff like that. Mm. There's a lot of talk that they're trying to assemble the Avengers, like all of them.
Yeah.
That could be pretty cool.
It could happen, actually. I think we may have spoken about it on the podcast or if not outside of the podcast, just you and I chatting, but we feel that there probably will be a series of hosts.
Yes.
It's not going to just be one person.
No, I think it's going to be a bit of a mix. And I think that's a pretty cool way because, who's not in Marvel at this point?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Got a few Oscar winners in there.
Yeah.
Speaking of Oscar winners, nobody in this show is an Oscar winner, but Gogglebox Australia has been picked up for another season. Huh. That's going to be, I think they have it on Foxtel and maybe Channel 10. The reason I say Channel 10 is because the list of regulars has come out in Gogglebox and it's all the same people except Angie and Evie, I think her name is, the two women that would sit on the couch together. They were blonde. They had dogs all around them.
Right.
They're not on that because they're busy on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Sure.
So they said Gogglebox will take us to a lounge room of a brand new household who will be announced soon.
Huh.
So bye-bye Angie and Evie. They may be the ones being watched by the other Goggleboxes.
It's a bit of a stretch having someone from Gogglebox supposedly a celebrity for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
But aren't all the celebrities famously non-celebrity?
I don't know. Sometimes they luck out and get somebody. Like, I know the UK one recently got John Barrowman. And, you know, he's from Torchwood, Doctor Who, Arrow. He's been in a, you know, he's legit. He's a little bit legit.
I wonder if the other celebrities in the jungle were like, what are you doing here?
There has to be some. You're an Instagram model? What's that mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You've got likes? Huh?
Huh? I don't understand what
and
that is.
And there's, I think, Sam Destiari.
Jackie, I was going to say a girl from school's name then. That's hilarious. Jackie Lambie, that's it. She's in it too.
Huh. Mm. Yeah, I don't watch.
And other people.
I don't watch that. No thanks. I'll tell you one show that I do. We'll be watching.
Go on.
So next few weeks, we're going to get a lot of news around pilots and potential shows coming later in the year. Mm. It's that time of year again. You know I love that time. one that the first whispers and rumors going around it has just leaked out. It's a new show from Fox. It's a reality competition show called Funny People. And so it's you might remember years ago there was Last Comic Standing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Amy Schumer came from and a lot of people. That was all about stand-up. This is going to be to find America's funniest person, and there's categories of stand-up, improv, and sketches, and you have to be good at all of them.
Wow.
Which is difficult.
It's a big call.
It's a huge call. Yeah. There are very, very few people that are skilled in all three arts. So I think that's going to be a really cool show of some people will smash it at the stand-up and then be terrible at improv because they're completely different strengths.
Yeah, they're totally different.
But this is all there's renewed interest in some oddball reality shows at the moment because The Masked Singer has been doing so well in the States, this weird guessing game.
What is it?
I haven't watched it yet, so I don't know exactly, but people have to try and guess who a singer is, and they're wearing some sort of novelty head.
So it can be a famous person.
Yes. So
well,
I heard something.
Probably is a famous person, otherwise they can't
guess
who
it is. Well, I believe there's famous people. I think it's not, like, maybe there's one singer a week and it mixes who the singer up. Or it might be there's a bunch of singers and you've got to try and get, I should watch before I try and talk about
the show. There would be certain singers who have very distinctive voices that are probably a little easier to pick than others.
Well, a lot of people online are saying that Tina Turner is involved.
Wow.
So, yeah. But I think there's also, like, crappy athletes that how would you know who they are singing with a head on?
If they're tall, you could guess they were a basketball player.
Yeah.
That is odd. That's
if they're very short, they could be a jockey.
Yeah, that's true.
That's about the parameters that would help.
Still fun, and I can see the hook there, people wanting to watch to see who it is and also see the people guess.
Yeah.
Correctly. That's it's a good premise.
Yeah, I'm down.
They're the ones who knock. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else you got?
Well, I've got one last one, and it's been a pretty big one this week.
Mm-hmm.
With the beginning of the end of Game of Thrones has an official start date. We heard April, and then we heard April 14th,
yes.
Or 14th of April, depending on what part of the world you're from. Now, don't forget, there's only 6 episodes in
movies.
This last season. Yeah, they're movie length.
Mm.
I was trying to have a look at how it's going to be scheduled. Admittedly, I didn't look that hard because I wonder if they're going to maybe draw it out a bit in that maybe it might be on every second week or if they're just going to slam through the first 6 and that's just 6 episodes, 6 weeks done.
I would say they'll probably smash through it because if they're starting 14th of April, that means that they go through May ratings period, which is where things are tracked to see how well they actually perform. And behind the scenes, that's where the most advertising dollars are. And while HBO doesn't have ads during the program and stuff like that, there's a lot of ancillary media around.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of making big bang for the buck, if they were to bang out 1 a week from mid-April through to end of May, advertising dollar-wise, makes a lot of sense.
And then it's done.
That is done.
Done forever.
So you saw that trailer, yeah?
Yeah.
I have one question from that trailer.
I've got some questions as well.
Where's Bran?
Yep. Which is what I'm wondering if perhaps it's a Bran vision.
Mm.
There was also a little bit of speculation online that John's statue looked a little older than John himself, where the other two Starks looked like they are now.
Yep.
So people, of course, are going wild with the rumours because it's going, like the death tally in this season is going to be off the charts. So there were predictions or guesses that perhaps John is one of the only or potentially the only Stark.
Who makes it out.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the whole thing of is Bran the Night King? Because the Night King shows up for just the last shot of that trailer and maybe that's Bran.
Maybe it is Bran.
Maybe he's
around. That rumour's been around since early on into the books, even before the TV show came out. I must say, though, it did give me that Game of Thrones anxiety where you're like,
everyone's going to die.
I don't want everyone to die.
I mean, if the show starts with showing, like, the ballsiest thing I can think of for that show to start is just a shot of Tormund's dead body. The walls come down and there's a giant ginger wildling laying dead on the floor.
And you know then it's a free-for-all.
And it's on.
It's a free-for-all. A fun little fact is that the final episode, so the final ever episode, was shot over 55 nights in 3 locations. Interesting.
That's a big, big jobby.
I think Winterfell was filmed in Ireland.
I got 2 last pieces of news.
Go for it.
One's real quick. Bad Boys 3 starts filming within days.
What are you going to do?
Ooh, Mike Lowry.
Mike Lowry, yeah.
Woosa.
There you go.
I've watched those films a lot of times. So I'm cautiously, trepidously looking forward to it.
You can get excited about it.
I am excited, yeah. But at the same time, when was the last time Martin Lawrence did anything good?
Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
He did some of those funny comedies, like those family sort of comedies for a while, I feel like. None of which I watched, but...
Big Mama's House.
That was it.
There was some funny moments scattered through that. Martin Lawrence has done some great stuff. It's just been a while. Will Smith has done some great stuff, but it too has been a while.
Martin Lawrence is the kind of guy that I think is quite good at investing and stuff. I would imagine he is overwhelmingly wealthy.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just a guess. I've not Googled any of that, but just a guess.
My question is, will they convince Will Smith to do a song for the movie?
I hope so.
Because someone should do some research into this. I swear there's a direct correlation between not only how much a movie makes, but how awesome it is, and whether Will Smith did the song.
Men in Black.
Men in Black 3 didn't do the song. Gave it to Pitbull. Terrible.
Mm.
Terrible.
They weren't the Men in Black.
No. And then also announced, like as we started recording, Mission Impossible 7 and 8 are going to film back to back. Both written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie.
Here we go.
Which is great because Mission Impossible 5 was great, but number 6 last year was awesome.
That's the
same writer and director from both of those. And it's very rare, you know, Mission Impossible films have always been about getting a young, hot action director and having a go. And instead, these last two movies, they've kind of gone, oh no, this guy's really good.
We need to keep it with the quality that we've gotten.
Yes. So
it was so well received as well.
Exactly.
It's such a smart move to do this.
And Christopher McQuarrie has been involved with Top Gun 2.
Mm.
I'm not sure to exactly what level. I know he's not directing and stuff like that, but he's had a hand in the script and a few things worked on there. Once that's all wrapped up, then he and Tom Cruise will start being laser focused with a plan to get one out summer 21 and then 22.
Cool.
Which is our winter.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so two
Not
years.
Not long, yeah.
2 years, it's still a bit of winter.
Yeah, but in terms of films.
Yeah, and back to back. Make it happen.
Mm.
That's all I have for news, but then there's trailers.
Get into the trailers.
Did you see any trailers?
Apart from the Game of Thrones one, no.
That's a good one.
I watched it about 5 times.
Fair. John Glazer Loves Gear is coming back. Now, this is a show that was a couple of years ago, and John Glazer is this kind of obnoxious comedian. You might know him from Parks and Recreations as Councillor Jan, who is Leslie Knope's opponent, undermines her and belittles her. So this is a show that it's kind of hard to describe. It's filmed like a reality show, but it's clearly scripted comedy, he is a guy that is reviewing gear. So each episode is about, you know, camping. And he goes out and spends $10,000 on the best camping gear.
Mm-hmm.
He screams the word gear all the time. But while this is happening, he's ruining his life. So it's kind of like that show I Love Review where stuff on screen starts affecting his real life. So his real life wife doesn't want anything to do with the show. So he hires a young woman to play his wife. And starts thinking that the young woman's actually into her, so it starts ruining his marriage, and then his kids are questioning everything.
Yeah,
so
what's
he has
going
to get
on?
Actors to play the kids on the show now.
Oh my gosh.
So the first season was 3 or 4 years ago, and I didn't think it would come back because it seemed to be pretty, it put a pretty final word on how things went. No, it's back again. So
they can write around anything these days.
Yeah, it looks to help him with the show. He created like a Siri style thing for a phone before Siri was a thing, and apparently now with the show, the Siri thing has taken off so much that the producers are trying to fire him and have the Siri voice host the show. So it's going to be an interesting scene.
That's really good.
A show about tech and gear of him having to try and fight back about tech taking over.
Amazing.
So I'm very keen for that one. I'll have thoughts on that probably next week.
Oh, cool.
Punisher Season 2 drops on Friday. I have dipped back in on some Punisher this week, getting ready. I am also very aware that this might be the last time we get to see him as Punisher because Netflix might.
Yeah, afterwards. Exactly.
And then January 23rd, next week, get excited, Snoop Dogg's The Joker's Wild.
Coming back.
His game show is coming back, as is Drop the Mic.
Oh, yeah, nice.
The rap battle show. And I'm really excited for Drop the Mic because I've just seen one photo.
Go on.
Because I'd heard rumors that it might happen. Then Jason Mewes, Kevin Smith, so Jay and Silent Bob are doing a rap battle.
Yes. That's good.
That's all. Yep. I'm there.
That has got to be the season opener.
I don't know. I saw a pic of Mark Cuban.
Ah.
He's going to be involved there. Like they've got some pretty big names this time. Maybe Justin Bieber will pop in because he's married to...
Oh, he's
is he married? Is it Hayley Baldwin that he's married to? Yeah. She's
Stephen Baldwin's daughter, the blonde Baldwin.
It's a convoluted family tree.
Oh, so confusing, isn't it?
Yep. And then I saw the trailer for a show called I'm Sorry. It's season two, which is Andrea Savage. She's a comedy writer on the show and in real life. And it's her navigating life. One of those shows.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Leah show.
It's very much a Leah show. Mm. That's why I bring it up.
Mm, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to write that down on a list of things.
I can see you scribbling in your pile that goes into the bin.
I'm going to just... No, what it'll be is I will watch it in about 6 months' time and go, I just watched this amazing show, and you'll just be sitting there going,
yep.
Remember when I told you about that? Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's right. Mm.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Tom,
we've
got a very special guest this episode.
Where?
Just over there.
Oh, hello. Who's this?
Shay, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad that you're glad that you're back. You've been doing a lot of watching, not just for us, but kind of for us. You're like a watching movie reviewer, aren't you?
Yeah.
For We Are the Watchers. So why don't you go through the list of movies you watched really quickly, and then we can talk about them individually.
So first I watched The Grinch.
The Grinch, yep.
Yep.
One.
And then I watched Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Ooh, okay. What else have you watched?
Mary Poppins Returns.
Nice. Now, I remember last time you were here, you were talking about getting through Harry Potter. Did you watch all of those?
Yep.
Oh, nice. Anything else?
Well, not really.
That's so much watching. All right, so firstly, we need to ask about The Grinch. If you had to give it a box of popcorn, so 10 boxes of popcorn is the best, no boxes is the worst, how many boxes would you give it?
I would probably give it 9.
9 boxes of popcorn. You really enjoyed it, didn't you?
Yeah.
What were some great parts in the movie?
It's animated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like real movies. It kind of freaks me out sometimes.
Yeah, I think the real Grinch movie, I know it bothers you a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. And the real Cat in the Hat movie.
Oh, we do not like that Cat in the Hat movie, do we?
No, that real Cat in the Hat movie I do not like.
You're not having any part of it.
No.
Okay. So this one is animated completely, so it's good for kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Grinch is really funny.
How many times do you think you will watch it just before next Christmas? So you know how, like, about early December, usually everybody starts getting in the Christmas spirit, and you'll be able to watch it, probably be able to stream it or watch it on DVD. How many times do you reckon you're going to watch it before Christmas Day?
Probably like 1 or 2.
That's good. That's not bad. Now we need to get into these Harry Potter movies. Yeah. So I think, now Tom, do you remember last time I feel like Shay, you may have watched the first 3. So you
No.
Had you watched the fourth one?
I watched the fourth one. Uh-huh. I was up to the sixth one.
You were.
Oh, right. You'd gotten way further than I thought.
And your goal was to watch all 8 by Christmas.
Yeah, and I did. Got my goal.
Nice work. All right, so this is a very serious question. Out of all of the Harry Potter movies, at the moment, just today, which is your favourite one?
Probably number 5.
So can you just remind us what happens in the fifth one?
Well, there's Luna Lovegood that she comes in first. And there is, remember the teacher? The one that loves cats and pink.
Oh, yes, Professor Dolores Umbridge.
Yeah.
From the Ministry of Magic.
Yeah.
Who's a bit of a baddie.
Mm. It's a she.
Yeah, sorry. She's a bit of a baddie.
Mm.
Yeah.
So number 5 was your favourite.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Because the Weasley twins, they get up to mischief
in
the end.
Yep, they decide to leave school with a bang, don't they?
Yeah.
They set off fireworks when everyone's doing their owls.
Oh, no.
HSC exams.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
So naughty.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about Wreck-It Ralph. Oh, well, sorry, Ralph Wrecks the Internet.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
In that one, I remember in the trailer, because I haven't seen it yet, in the trailer we saw a lot of the Disney princesses.
Yeah.
Was that really funny in the movie?
Not that funny. And there was something at the end. Mm. This was actually real. And there was this little girl that just watched it and said, there was something in the trailer that wasn't in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So maybe
and it was actually true.
So you've seen the trailers before as well, and you were like, oh, yeah, that wasn't in there.
Yeah.
It was a very clever bit of meta stuff of things, scenes that they'd used for promotion that they didn't end up putting in the film, but they could still comment on that in the film.
Mm. It said, take me to a website that's really interesting and really nuts. That was in the trailer, but it didn't say it in the movie.
Interesting.
I will say, Leah, I think you are of an age where the Disney princess scene would be hilarious. I think it's a bit of an age thing.
Okay.
When you're old enough to get the references and understand who those characters were and how they were treated before, it was damn funny.
Yep. That was true.
Mm-hmm.
So out of three frozen Cokes, what would you give it? Three being the best, none being the worst.
I think maybe like two?
Two frozen Cokes. That's not bad. That's pretty solid. That's good.
So we're on two frozen Cokes and nine popcorns.
Yeah, nine popcorns.
Good thing Dad's hungry.
Now, Shay, I need to ask about another one that I'm quite interested in because I want to see it. Mary Poppins, or the newest one, Mary Poppins Returns, so it is called. Have you seen the first one?
Yes. And I've seen the second one twice.
Already?
Yeah.
All right.
I saw it on the day it came out and a few weeks after with my grandma and grandpa.
Now, Shay, I remember in the first one there's lots of singing. Is there lots of singing in the second one as well?
Yeah.
All different songs or the same ones?
Different ones.
Nice.
There's a couple of reprisals and a few themes from the first film that you'll remember. Mm. I don't know if there's anything quite as earwormy as...
And there's the penguins.
I know, right? I sing that song all the time.
The dancing penguins.
Oh, the penguins are back.
Yeah, the penguins are back.
Now, in the newest one, the kids in the old one are grown up, is that right?
Yeah, they're adults.
Okay. And so Mary visits them again? Why?
Yeah. Because she's coming to be a nanny for the kids now.
Oh, for their kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Ah, right.
There are some issues going on with the grown-up Banks children's lives.
Mm.
And so Mary comes back to help with the children and help try and remind the adults that you can still have fun.
Which is kind of what, in the first Mary Poppins movie, Mary Poppins was reminding their dad that you can have some fun.
Yeah, and it was like, it was reminding their dad.
Yeah, right. So it just kept going on and on. All right. I'm not going to ask out of how many bags of bubbles. I'm going to ask instead, which did you like more, the first Mary Poppins or do you like the second Mary Poppins?
It'll probably be the first Mary Poppins.
Why?
Because... it's a bit hard to explain.
Do you think it might be because... How many times have you seen the first Mary Poppins?
Like 20, 30?
Maybe that's why, because you know it so well.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe if you saw the second one a lot as well, be more even?
I don't find Emily Blunt nearly as likable. And I believe it's an intentional choice with the character, but she plays her as posh and snobbish and looks down on situations and stuff.
Right.
Which fits with it's closer to the book version of Mary Poppins.
Mm.
It is ever so slightly jarring at first. It pulled me out a little bit. I was like, okay.
Yeah, right.
But I like where it went, but it is a definite choice.
Okay.
Yeah. It has one of the coolest scenes involving a bath I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Really? So look out for the bath scene.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Did it have you laughing? Do they sing in that bit?
Yeah.
It's got everything. So are there any movies that you want to see that you haven't seen yet in these school holidays?
Don't know if there's any coming out.
You didn't want to see How to Train Your Dragon 3?
No.
Not too fussed about that one.
Have you seen the other two?
I don't want to see dragon movies.
Don't like dragons.
Okay, fair enough.
They're too much fire, isn't it?
Yeah.
So are there any older movies that you've been watching just on TV?
Well,
do you still watch School of Rock a lot?
Yeah, and now I have Stan and Netflix on my iPad.
So that opens up a whole lot of stuff you can watch.
Yeah.
You can watch Descendants when you want now.
Yeah, and I can also watch Hook.
That's a good one. You watched Hook for the first time with Mum, didn't you?
Yeah.
That movie's great. Are there any scary bits in that for you, do you think?
Not really.
I like it when Rufio says, bang-a-rang.
I like Rufio. He's good.
Rufio, Rufio, Rufio.
Cool. Well, Shay, thank you so much for coming in and letting us know how those movies went. And it was interesting to get your take on Mary Poppins as well.
Yeah.
Next time we'll get you in to talk about some older and newer movies. Sound good?
Yeah. Do you think maybe around Easter school holidays you could come on the show again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Excellent. Oh, let's do that. Shay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Well, some good movie suggestions there for kids.
Yeah, good on you.
Yeah, that's good.
Cheers, Shay.
Now, what have you been watching this week?
So I've watched a lot. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to save some for next week, but okay. There's a few things that were a bit timely, I want to cover them quickly. So Brooklyn Nine-Nine is back on NBC.
I heard
after being cancelled.
Yeah, and came back. Fans were sad and then happy the next day, pretty much.
The coolest thing that I saw about it is they can do beeped swears now. They weren't allowed to do any of that stuff back on Fox. So they're really...
they're going for it?
I think the word labia got used a good 20, 30 times. And like, there's a joke of Hitchcock and Scully. They're like, wait, we can say labia now? Labia, 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 labia. It was great.
Testing the waters.
The change in network has definitely worked out well for them. It's up 82% viewers on last season's premiere.
Holy, that is phenomenal.
Yes, so a big gamble, a big risk.
Wow.
Definitely looks like it's paying off. Mythbusters Jr. I talked about this a while ago. I thought it would be a cheap cash grab, you know, just a phone. I watched it. It was fantastic.
Now, you were going to watch it not only just to watch it, but also to decide whether Shay would be a good one to watch
it. Yeah, she's in.
She's in already.
Yeah, so
wow.
It's Adam is back, no Jamie, but they use footage from stuff they've done in the past. So Jamie has a presence throughout the show. They're filming in the same studio. They're filming out on the same lot. So they've got the same narrator. Everything about it is the same, except Jamie's no longer on screen. But he has six teenagers between 12 and 15. Who are all experts in different, like there's this real... They're all super nerdy, but one of them is like this coding genius who's mapping out the astrophysics level of... The episode is about duct tape. They've done a lot of duct tape specials in the past. So this one is, could you make a parachute out of duct tape and could you fashion a car tire out of duct tape?
Ooh.
Yes. Parachute, you could. Probably wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to work too well for them. But the tires was very interesting. Watch a 12-year-old drive a car with that, like just on rims.
That's
for
phenomenal.
A control. But the thing that blew me away most was they have a 12-year-old astrophysics child. He's a
like the Doogie Howser of
He's a college sophomore.
Oh, my
So he's already in his second year of college.
And he's 12.
Which Adam makes the joke means this kid has now done more college and university than Adam has. But these kids are super, super duper bright.
Yeah, right.
And my word, this show just clicked and was firing on all cylinders. And as I said, I was really cynical. I thought it was just going to be extending the brand cheaper version. No.
It sounds like it freshened the series up for you.
It's hugely freshened. And I didn't realize how good a mentor Adam would make. I mean, I've seen him at Comic-Con and stuff like that talking to crowds and being excited. I know he's a bastion and a champion for science.
Mm.
But seeing him with these kids who are infinitely smarter than he is. You know, he comes from a prop and makeup background, yeah, and he lucked into that world. Seeing him with these kids that have the intelligence and the nous to actually do the science that he used to rely on Jamie for, is really good.
That's very clever.
Yes, so I'm keen to check out some more of that.
I'm glad it was a success.
Yeah.
Now, I decided to watch the Black Mirror special, Bandersnatch, so I finally got around to watching it. I thought I actually watched it for last week, but I must have watched it that night or something. Now, I love those Choose Your Own Adventure books. Yes. I remember having some of them. I got them from like the secondhand store, like Vinnie's or whatever, and reading them and going back, going, oh no, it's not the ending I wanted, and trying to find the right ending.
Mm.
And it's exactly what I had with this. Now, in the beginning...
What cereal did you choose?
I chose the Captain Crunch.
Mm.
So in the beginning, those decisions seem quite small.
Yes.
So what cereal do you want to pick for breakfast? What song or what album do you want to listen to whilst doing this and that? And then the decisions get a bit bigger. Because as I started, I thought, oh, yeah, so that it's not going to change too much. These are just sort of, we're playing with the technology to see how it works. But no, the changes that you make are quite big. In fact, some of them are so big that they go, we're going back to just before you made that wrong decision. I tried a few different endings. I probably got about three, I think, in the end. And by that point, I went, I've had enough. Like, I've enjoyed what it was and it was fun, but I don't need to see every single ending. Because it's Black Mirror, and because Black Mirror usually is telling you something about society and it's very bleak and depressing, I think some fans weren't that happy with it simply because it wasn't what they wanted, it wasn't what they expected. But it also wasn't, that's not what it was about. It was about trying Choose Your Own Adventure platform.
Yeah, experimentation.
That's what Black Mirror is.
Yep.
It's about experimenting. So I thought it was really cool, and I'm hoping now that they've tried it, Netflix or other streaming sites will then start to use it as well.
Well, Charlie Brooker says he'd rather punch himself in the dick.
Okay. It would have been a bit of a mind
he said that
explosion.
Every year or two in Black Mirror, he finds himself wondering why he bit off so much that he couldn't possibly chew it. And he said that this happened about 6 or 7 months earlier than usual in the proceedings, because they were like, oh, we'll just use a whiteboard. Oh, we'll just get more whiteboards. Oh, we'll just get some sort of software that writes a branching narrative. I've worked on narrative branching storyline games in the past, and I can assure you, having written some copy for it, it is the most soul-destroying task, because you're doing a ton of work that maybe 1/20th will be seen.
Absolutely.
Each time it's played.
But you think about, like you said, with video games, a lot of video games are like that now, particularly with those open world story-based things. Like if I was playing Red Dead Redemption and I'm wandering around by myself in the world and I decide I've come up to somebody and I decide to shoot them, that's a whole chunk of a storyline gone potentially because I didn't go up to them and talk to them and they give me a mission. So it's a similar thing with this. But from what I've heard and spoken with other people about this episode, a lot of people did try several different endings.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know anyone who just saw one and went, "Cool."
No.
Did you see the one where he finds out he's on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. From all of the ones I heard of, that's the one I like the most.
It's quite funny, but I also heard a few people say they didn't like it because it took them outside, out of the story.
Yeah.
But I had a giggle at it. Yeah.
Look, Charlie Brooker, the mastermind of everything Black Mirror, he has a history of being insanely metatextual, and he wrote a fake TV guide for years called TV Go Home, and like literally wrote out listings for what was going to be on television every night, and it was all wrong.
Up
nonsense. So that sort of thing of telling your lead character they're in a program in the future,
it's very him.
Is absolutely him. And he was a video game critic for years, so he knows this stuff. He knows what he's doing.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else did you watch?
So Ron Funches, you know I love him, formerly of Undateable, and he was on Powerless and just the best thing that was on at midnight. He did his first hour-long comedy special called Giggle Fit. It is blowing up on iTunes at the moment. It's fantastic. I cannot recommend it enough.
Did it give you a giggle fit?
It did, because his whole thing is, like, he's lost like 160 pounds.
Wow.
so much weight. And he changed his comedy style maybe a year and a half, not drastically, but he decided he wasn't going to do negative material anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he does is about positivity.
Nice.
And that shouldn't work in comedy because comedy is about conflict. But for some reason, it really works. And his positive attitude, positive spin on everything. So he talks about, he makes some great Quantum Leap references and talks about lots of really outdated references that don't tie anywhere. Does a lot of material on shepherd's pie, which
okay.
I'm really into.
All right, shepherd's pie. Is there a joke about what's the difference between shepherd's pie and cottage pie?
No, there's
that's
not
coming up. I would imagine.
Sure, no, it's more about the fact he's talking that so many people are into sweets and everyone loves a sweet dessert. He's like, give me some savory. I want some shepherd's pie, and then goes on about that. And then he does about 15 minutes. His son is autistic,
mm-hmm.
and he's very open about what a gift that is, but at the same time, what a shit fight it turned his life into because he's a single dad with an autistic teenager.
Yeah, right.
And having had some, I've spent time around autism and it was very relatable. Mm. And so anyone listening, if you've been close to that situation, you know about, I cannot recommend this program enough.
What's it called again?
Ron Funches, Giggle Fit.
Giggle Fit.
Just because he's talking about that, and hopefully that wets your whistle, because he's, I don't know if it's been picked up to series yet, but he's got a pilot that he's putting together that's going to be following his life story of single young dad raising someone with autism. Good on you, Ron Funches.
Now that I hear you say that premise, it's like, that doesn't exist, and it should.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
There's always been, there's been shows with the weirdo autistic best friend, or it's all that person has always been played for a laugh, or then you've got Sheldon Cooper, where it's never actually explained. And
Sheldon's like introduction, mainstream introduction into that world, and I think that would, if we have a look, if we stand back, that probably having Sheldon in such a huge show will allow these sorts of shows to come out easier.
I completely agree, but have the balls to call out where you are on the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've never said whether Sheldon's supposed to be autistic, Asperger, where he falls on that spectrum, where this show is going to very clearly call out. This is
exactly what it is.
A teenage boy who has to wear headgear going out of the house and earmuffs and talks really poorly to his father.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that was great. The other one that was great, and I've talked about this a few times, was Schooled.
Yes.
So this is a spin-off of Goldbergs.
Yeah.
Goldbergs came back, and the two shows are going to be together for the next 9 weeks, I think, or something. So leaning off together. This week of Goldbergs was the lead up, or they're getting ready for the wedding of the main character who's on Schooled and the eldest, or the middle brother, sorry, on Goldbergs.
Yep, yep.
This episode was called The Wedding Singer, and they cut into the wedding singer.
Oh, no
way. So they got tons of footage.
No way.
And they cut themselves in that the mother goes and crashes one of his events to try and get him to come on. And she can't get in contact with him, but she does find John Lovitz.
Yep.
So John Lovitz reprises his character with him. It was really, really clever. Anyway, without getting too spoilery, the wedding does not go ahead.
Mm.
It's not some sort of shock situation. It's literally two teenage children going, what did we do?
Yeah, okay.
We shouldn't do this. So then Lainey, the girl, decides she needs to go and find herself in the world. And so the episode ends with her packing her bags and driving off to LA to become a rock star.
Mm.
And then 4 minutes later, Schooled start with her driving back into town and being a failed rock star. It's now mid-90s. So the show
That's clever.
And the show starts with the narration from Patton Oswalt, who's the narrator on Goldbergs.
Mm.
But then she essentially takes the mic off him and he's not present for the rest of the show.
Interesting.
So it's like, the 80s is done. Now we're in the 90s.
Yeah.
She's carrying the torch. Some of the teachers from the Goldbergs are now the main characters on Schooled.
Mm.
So the gym coach is one of the main characters.
Okay.
The guy who was the school counselor is now the principal.
Yeah, nice. So that you see progression, you see a life that's been had.
And we've already had a lot of crossover from minor characters on Goldbergs up here on this. So like the school stoner is now the school janitor. He didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
The mum from the Goldbergs appears very briefly to help push the character along and stuff. But it's very clever. We haven't seen the guy that she split up with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when we will see him.
No, I bet you will.
They made a promise to each other that they would return to each other when the time was right.
Okay.
So they've left that storyline door open.
Yeah.
And we didn't see anything of the younger son, I'm guessing because they can't age him up.
Good point.
Because everyone else now is early 20s fine.
It's doable.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But yeah, I was very on the fence as to whether this would be much chop, and instead it's paired working together to make a really solid hour of television.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you watch anything else?
Just a little show that you and I both love that we should probably put behind the spoiler wall.
We will. It'll be behind a spoiler wall, but we might as well do the quiz now, actually.
Oh, yes, please.
So the quiz is Game of Thrones related after the huge 14th of April release reveal. So it's basically just a Game of Thrones quiz just to get us back in the mood, back to thinking about, you know, Westeros and all that sort of
Let's
stuff.
Let's see how much I've forgotten.
Yeah, good luck. All right, let's start easy.
Okay.
What does Valar...
Morghulis.
Yeah, there are two of them. But do you remember which one that means? So Valar Morghulis is the first one, I think, that you say in a greeting.
But isn't that to do with the coin of you owe me a life?
Yeah. The translation.
I can't remember.
He gave her three.
He gave her three lives.
Yeah.
But is it translated something like, I'm in your life's debt or something along those lines?
It's all men must die.
And then the
greeting response you're supposed to say is something like, all men serve this. You know, the faceless.
Yeah.
What is Catelyn Stark's other name in the books?
Oh, the Stone Lady Stoneheart.
Yeah, which I did notice a couple of people go, oh, we finally got Lady Stoneheart in the... but they were jokingly saying because there was a stone statue of her. But we're not going to get her. Not in six episodes. All right. Who received Oathkeeper? Now, there's a bonus point if you can say who the giver was and who it originally was owned by. Oathkeeper. It's a sword.
Is that the one Sam steals from? No.
You're going to get it.
It's not, and that's Arya's.
It's an oath. No. Who's heavily into oaths? Yeah.
And she gets it from Jaime.
Mm-hmm. Now.
And it was originally.
I'll give you a clue. The original name was Ice.
So it was a Stark family sword. Was it Ned's sword his head cut off?
Yeah, and you remember it was melded down.
That's right.
Mm.
Man, yeah. Oathkeeper. I'm rusty on this.
Now, it is still... So it is Valyrian steel.
Yes.
So Brienne is pretty much ready for this fight, this big war. What was Theon Greyjoy's other name? It was given to him by...
Oh, when he got his tackle.
Yeah. By Ramsay Bolton. Reek.
R-E-E-K.
What's Arya's sword's name? Little, thin. Thin.
Stab, no.
People sew with
pointer.
It.
Needle, yeah.
Needle. Yeah. I like the fact that she pulled
these are very specific questions. I enjoy these because the answer's in there.
They're in there, right? We've got to warm our Game of Thrones brains
That's
up again.
2 years.
All right. Now, this is the final one. It's a six-parter, but I reckon you're going to get a heap of them. What were the direwolves? Who were they? What were their names?
I know Ghost.
Ghost? That's Jon Snow's.
Mm.
There's still another one alive.
That's Arya's when she set it free.
That one's name is Nymeera.
I'm not going to remember the other. They've got Sansa's one died because of Joffrey.
Yeah, pretty much. That was Lady.
Lady. Yeah. Bran's one died protecting him when they were up beyond the wall.
Mm-hmm. That was Summer.
Summer was a badass. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Do you remember? Well, Rickon was very little when he named his. So it's a real kid's name. Yeah, think
Lucky
Scooby-Doo.
Scrappy.
Oh, close.
Shaggy.
Shaggy dog. And then finally, Rob's. Rob's was very serious
head
name.
Chopped off and put on his body?
Yeah, I can't. His at least in the book. I can't remember what it was in the show. It's been a while since I watched
it. Oh, they definitely parade the body around with the wolf head on.
Well, it's his body then.
Because Arya sees it.
Grey Wind.
Grey Wind.
Yeah. That's the dire wolves.
So these are very good questions. These are very minor points. As I say, like quite often in these quizzes, I've got answers ready in my head. But those I had to
ones think. Like the Oath Keeper, like that one, yeah. You're like, oh, that's still around. Yeah. Brienne's using that. There's a history to it. It comes from the north. How did Ned come across it? Where's the history behind that? Mm. So many questions. If you've got any Game of Thrones questions or quizzes or anything for us, the Watchers Podcast at gmail.com.
Hello, at you, boy.
Time for some Good Place action.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
I remember you saying at the end of the last episode, You were like, right, Ted Danson, he is going to step up because there is nobody here that they can rely on to save the day. And he came to that conclusion during this episode. And as soon as he said it, I was like, Tom said that.
You can't expect people that run the Good Place to break rules.
My goodness, are they wrapped up in bureaucracy? We thought the accountants were bad.
Yeah.
Holy dooly.
At least they had cake.
Yeah, that's true.
And weird sex things.
Oh, my gosh. I was ready to just walk out of that room if I was Michael.
That was a tough gig. And
what was it going to be, 400 years?
400 years to pick the people on the committee, yeah. Then 1,000 years to investigate potential conflict of interest.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So he's got to go and do it all himself. How did you, how much did you enjoy the little, well, not the little, the quite big cameo in the post office?
From someone who's nailing it.
Oh my gosh, when I saw her walk out, I was like,
she's so cheerful.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. She was pretty much who she is on Nailed It.
I was saying to Linz that if we spend more time in the Good Place, I would love Ron Funches to be there and any super hack-by positive African-American comedian would be perfect in there if that's the vibe they go for.
And Nicole, that's the vibe they're going
so
for.
So good.
She was amazing.
All right. No further up follow-up questions.
That's the line I remember. Oh, and Cheaty dressed in the postal outfit was too much.
Which he's now stuck in.
Do I have time to get changed?
No. I don't know how long that's going to hang around for, but I'm really on board with that. I love the fact as well that they made it really subtle that Chidi's now stuck in those clothes, but I don't know if you saw, but Janet changed like multiple times just in the background when she was becoming neutral.
Yeah, Janet, neutral Janet, she
like
changed.
Went through like one or two outfits.
I just remember the change. Wow, I'm going to go back and watch it.
Just tiny little shades of colour and stuff like that.
That's very clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Janet as neutral Janet was hilarious. Oh,
I'm not pleased to not be at this place.
End of conversation.
Yeah, it was really solid. I'm excited to see where it goes. They're off to go and talk to Jen again. She's going to be pretty mad. Frogman was there.
Yeah, oh, it smells like frogs.
What do you think heaven would smell like for you? A good place, I should say.
Probably some sort of baked goods, like, I don't know, gingerbreads being cooked, baked, I should say.
Mm.
Chocolate cake. Mm. What about you?
Freshly printed book.
Oh, yeah.
That smell when you crack it.
Yeah, I know exactly what
comic
that is.
That paper.
You know that new car smell? You can have that.
Yeah.
I'm not that interested. I want, yeah,
new
food
smell.
Food and books. Next episode. Oh, actually, just quickly before we get into what we think is going to happen next episode, I surprised myself how, not disinterested, but how low on my interest levels the whole Janet being told that Jason had figured out what she felt about him. It didn't interest me in that. Maybe there was just too many other great things.
Yeah, I think there was it was very much the C storyline.
Yeah.
There was too much else going on that maybe didn't get the focus. But I have a feeling that's so they can set things up for the next few episodes.
True. True.
They've got to drift them back together.
Yeah. And that they can because it's all good.
Why not just get polygamous with it?
Maybe that's good in the Good Place.
It's just a guy, a girl, and they're weird, not a robot, not a woman thing.
All right. What do you reckon is going to happen next episode? I'm just hanging out for the judge.
I'm hanging out to see if Sean is back because he got thrown into the portal and we don't know where he landed. And I'm hoping he's gone to Dob to Jen.
Yeah, probably.
Because I could see him. But on the flip side, he'd be in a lot of trouble for making that makeshift portal to Earth.
We need to see another bad Janet pretty soon.
Yes.
Because we've seen a lot of neutral, obviously good Janet, but we need a bit of bad Janet action again.
The conflict needs to come back in. I think mm-hmm. they need to be on the run further or sort of arguing their case not just to Jen but against Sean.
I think there's going to be an argue of the case and just kind of keep in one place for at least one or two episodes.
I genuinely have no idea where it goes now because I thought we were going to hang in that Good Place office for a few episodes.
We were
at least
out.
Get outside or peek out a window.
No.
It's only four Oreos away. It's a great unit of measurement.
It really was because I went, oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. It would be about the width of a door.
But it's heaven, so are they double stuffed Oreos because
you'd be missing out. Deliciously good.
Yeah.
Good question. Right, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see until next week. What a jam-packed episode of this podcast it's been. I'm exhausted. Oof. Until next week, Tom, leave us with some words of wisdom.
Somebody stuck me.